Unfortunately, Chicago's city government has lost our trust because of failed policies and the endless politics of bluster and bullying. I'm running for mayor to change that. This is one of the greatest cities in the world.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Gary McCarthy is going to join us in a couple of minutes. Again, he wants to be your next mayor, which changes the scope of this mayoral race pretty quickly and pretty dramatically. It was not exactly a friendly departure from an outsider's viewpoint when McCarthy left. This is all in and around the Laquan McDonald time when the video was finally released. I don't believe we've seen a comment from the mayor's office yet, have we?
About Gary McCarthy running? About McCarthy? Not yet. Nope. Not yet.
And when we do, we will let you know. Mm-hmm. But Mr. McCarthy, I believe, is wrapping up an interview right now with some other folks, and then he will join us in just a second. So we have a governor's race, which could go to $300 million in expenses between Rauner and J.B. Pritzker. Mm-hmm. McCarthy being in the mayor's race, I think, makes it dramatically more expensive because whether, and I'll take this up with McCarthy, but whether McCarthy has experience or not, he has a name, and therefore that drives up the price of running for the office.
Yeah, absolutely. One interesting thing, though, I guess what might be a silver lining to the gubernatorial race, Steve, is that J.B. Pritzker and Bruce Rauner both have so much money, and they are pouring so much in it. Hopefully, maybe at this point, since there's so much money that's going to be spent on this race, it will be about the message and not the money.
Because it'd be a nice surprise, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be a nice surprise? Yeah.
Former police superintendent Gary McCarthy joins us now. Good morning, Mr. McCarthy. It's been a long time. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And I think this is the right word. Congratulations that you're in the race for mayor.
Yeah, this is one of those be careful what you wish for things.
What made you make that decision?
So I've got this public service thing that I've been doing for a long time, and I can't stand by and watch what's happening here. And, you know, I never would have considered a mayoral run, but people just kept coming to me and coming to me and coming to me, and the movement that they started has become a tidal wave. And honestly, just I think Chicago's ready for change. And if it couldn't be done, I wouldn't do it. But we've done our polling, and you know, the mood on the street and just talking to people, people are very excited about me running for mayor. So it became one of those things that, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save a great American city. And, you know, how often do you get that opportunity if you enjoy public service?
Well, that's quite true. You know, if somebody comes and asks, you've got to at least give it a listen. And now that you've jumped in, the one question that we're hearing from folks is about your departure from the city with Rahm. And was it an ugly departure? And is this about payback?
No, absolutely not. You know, I can't say that if I pull this off, there wouldn't be a modicum of that was pretty cool. But the bottom line is this is more about just what's happening here. I live here. I'm not moving. And it's just an incredible opportunity to do something special.
Now, is your family here?
So I'm remarried, and I have a 17-month-old son. My 28-year-old daughter is here. But my 30-year-old is back in New York. She's out there.
And regardless if they're 20,
my family is spread all over the country, quite frankly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was going to say, regardless of your kids being 28 or 30, they still get a vote on what think is best for you or hope is best for you. So what do the kids think?
They're excited. They're excited. My wife, it took a little bit for me to get her to be excited. She was like, right. Why would you want to jump back into the public life when, you know, people just started leaving us alone? And I'm like, because that's what I do. And she is 100% behind me. She hopped into the exploratory committee. She's got incredible organizational skills, and she's really helped out a lot.
Now, obviously, you know policing and you know the crime. What else sells you as a guy ready for this kind of job? Because I know you know this, but people certainly can jump to the conclusion that just because you're a good cop doesn't mean you'd be a good mayor.
Well, because I'm a manager. You know, I've managed large, diverse organizations. I've managed $1.5 billion budgets. And I've been at the top of city government in three major American cities for 16 years. Working hand in glove with folks like Rudy Giuliani, Mike Bloomberg, Cory Booker, who could foreseeably be a president of the United States, and then here in Chicago. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I've been at the top of city government for a long time. So, and learning how to manage, you know, one of the best trainings I ever got in my life, the NYPD sends managers to Columbia Business School.
Right.
To learn business management techniques. They don't even talk about policing until like 6 months into the program. And that was the best training I ever got. And what we need is business management brought to government here in Chicago. Because if anybody in this city or any place else in the world ran their business the way that we run City Hall, they'd be out of work in a heartbeat.
Gary, I want to ask you, too, about your running on the plateau in your video you said of getting those crime numbers down in Chicago. However, violent crimes under Eddie Johnson over the past year are down significantly from your tenure. How would you answer that?
It's not down from my tenure. It's not even close to reaching the levels that it was at when I left. That's the problem. You know, we compare numbers year by year. And don't forget the 80% increase that happened in 2016. You know, they own that. And that's why Rahm Emanuel wanted me to resign. He didn't want to fire me because then he wouldn't own the fallout from my termination. He wanted me to resign so he could say, look, the guy left. What do you want me to do? I'm not accountable for everybody getting murdered. Well, guess what? He is. And it's not hard to reduce an 80% increase year over year. We had the lowest murder rates in this city in 2013 and 2014 since 1965. And we haven't reached that. We're not going to reach that for a long time. There were 1,400 people murdered in the 2 years since I got fired. That's unbelievable.
Critics, however, say that though you were fired because it took the department 14 months to release the video of the death of Laquan McDonald.
Well, critics would be wrong because the department had nothing to do with that. The entirety of that was handled by the Corporation Counsel, Steve Patton. As a matter of fact, go back and take a look at his testimony in front of the Financial Committee of the City Council in April of 2015, where he said that Officer Van Dyke acted within the scope of his authority. And then a year and a half later, when he quote-unquote resigns, he said that when he saw the video, he thought it was a case of murder. You want to talk about where the cover-up happened? It's right there.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways.
No.
You know me, and you've known me long enough to know that I will have a cop's back every time until it's proven they don't deserve it. Clearly, there was more of a mess with a very, very small percentage of the Chicago Police Department, making it tough for the very, very large percentage of the cops trying to do the right thing on the street. You know, if I remember correctly, you're certainly a fan of Eddie Johnson, and he has done a nice job in the work he's doing. But what's your understanding of the state of CPD now?
They're in bad shape. They, you know, the two things the cops say to me all the time is that they miss me, and that if that's what they did to me, what would they do to them if they made a mistake? So morale is really low. Nobody has their back. I think that the leadership is kind of sorely lacking in a lot of places within the department based upon political promotions. And people know that. It's not about a meritocracy anymore where you earn your positions by working hard and, you know, performing. And by the way, I still need to point out that while I like Eddie Johnson a lot, the process that was used to appoint him was completely illegitimate. There's municipal law that lays out the process for appointing a police superintendent in the city of Chicago. And what it says is that the police board will do a national search, come up with three candidates, give it to the mayor. And if the mayor likes one of the three, he selects them, gets them ratified by the council. If he doesn't like it, he throws out the search and they do it again. Well, what we did in this case was we got the city council to change the law for one day so that Rahm Emanuel could appoint whoever he wanted. And what he did was he appointed somebody who didn't apply for the job. That's not okay. Checks and balances are in place for a reason. And you just skirt the issue when you want to? I mean, that's a problem. Legitimacy. You want legitimate policing, but you got illegitimate government processes that put these folks in place. It's not okay.
How much time will the mayor of Chicago, if you win, how much time will you be spending cleaning up what you believe is this kind of cronyism?
Probably the whole time. It will be a long-term process. It's going to, you know, changing a culture is a big deal. It's very difficult to do. It was amazing that I had an opportunity to be part of that change in the NYPD. The NYPD went from the, I jokingly called it the old guy network, where the way you get ahead is by hanging on and not letting anything happen, covering up scandals and, you know, not on my watch, to a meritocracy that encouraged forward thinking and thinking out of the box. And that's the only reason that I succeeded in the NYPD, because I was not hooked up. So it can be done in a large city. Chicago, it's very ingrained in the way that we do business. And I think people are tired of it. You know, one of my friends says that Chicago is ready for a Brexit. We're ready for a break from the past, from the way that we've done business, which has put us in the position that we're in today, which is a laughingstock in America.
I know we both got to run here soon, but what's your relationship with the teachers union?
You know, I think that it's going to be a good one. I've never really had too much dealings. Karen Lewis and I met a couple of times. I really don't know Sharkey. But I think it's going to be a good one, especially since my view on schools has to do more with making sure that our children are in a position to learn when they get to school at 9 a.m., because I think teachers want to teach. And that means that things that happen outside the school affects what happens inside the school. And rather than closing schools and eliminating social services in our most distressed neighborhoods, that's where we need to pour all our energy into it, to make sure when that kid gets to school, he's ready to learn. Maybe he wasn't up all night because there was a shooting outside of his window. Maybe he doesn't have to cross over two gang lines to get to school. Maybe he actually had breakfast that morning. And, you know, the kid's in a position to learn geometry. So I think it's going to be a good relationship. I've done very well with unions over the course of my career. Not that I'm not concerned about it, but I think I'm very optimistic about it.
How would you work with Bruce Rauner or J.B. Pritzker to get the most from Springfield for Chicago, the most out of Springfield for Chicago?
Yeah, I have never met Mr. Pritzker. I have met Governor Rauner on a number of occasions. But I would reach out and with a plan. First, start with an introduction and kind of give them a who's Gary McCarthy, what my expectations are, what it is I'm going to do in the city, and try and incorporate their thoughts into a long-term plan to get the state on track, because we know how what happens in Springfield affects what's happening here in Chicago. So introduction at first, and then come back with a plan and sit down and roll our sleeves up and try and get something done. I've always worked very well in the sandbox with people, and my expectation is that's going to continue. Anybody who has Chicago's best interest in mind will be welcome at the table, and whether they're friend or foe, whether people I've had good relationships or bad relationships with, anybody who's interested in helping us fix Chicago, I'll work with.
Do you consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, an independent now? What are you? Well, you know, the reason I ask is because a lot of us don't know, not just about you, but about ourselves.
Yeah, no, I am a conservative Democrat is what I think.
Okay.
When I started voting in New York City in 19-something.
Yeah, don't give that up.
A long time ago, the Democratic Party was the blue-collar, working-class party in the Bronx. And that's what I signed up for, and that's where I've been ever since. Within the Democratic Party, there's left, there's right, and there's middle of the road. I'm more middle of the road, but Democrats on the left would say that I'm leaning towards the right.
Yeah, no, I understand. And this is going to make for a very interesting time. And you may or may not know this. The mayor has been a guest on this show many times, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with both of you. But before I let you go, I've always considered the mayor's job in the two biggest cities in the country, here and in New York, one of your major jobs as a manager is to manage the city council, and in this case, it's the aldermen here. What do you like or not like about how the aldermen do their job, and what would you change?
I think the problem is everybody's about their own self-interest, but I think teamwork is probably the most important thing that we could talk about. You know, I always fall back on athletics. I mean, I played sports my whole life, and that's why I'm so banged up at the age of 58. But, you know, leadership, getting everybody moving in the same direction is something that I've been pretty good at during my entire career. And I think that it will actually work with elected officials. I'm gonna harken back to the fact that I'm a public servant. I'm not going to be a politician. And I'm going to remind politicians that they're actually public servants first. And they have to have the greater good in mind rather than their own self-interest.
It is GaryForMayor.com, G-A-R-R-Y, GaryForMayor.com. Good luck. I look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Gary McCarthy, former police superintendent, wants to be the mayor of Chicago.